How do we find a gracious God? That's what Martin Luther was wrestling with, and he was filled with inner turmoil. Luther was born in 1483. He was part of an upwardly mobile family that was involved in copper mining. And from early in life, Luther was marked for an education. His father, Hans, had high hopes of him becoming a lawyer so he could someday help run the family business. But like a lot of young people, Martin Luther had a mind of his own. And he had a lot of questions. Who am I? And what am I doing here? To whom do I belong? And where do I stand? Luther started law school in the summer of 1505. His dad bought all of the texts for him. Young Martin buckled down with his usual level of dedication. But something was churning inside, and eventually it would change the course of his life. We're not exactly sure what that something was or where it came from, but it was likely rooted in Luther's search for a gracious God. Perhaps there were several factors involved. Luther struggled with a troubled conscience. He felt unworthy of God's love. He had lost three of his friends to the bubonic plague. Over a third of Europe died in that plague, which was often referred to as the Black Death. And many of the writings of the day were preoccupied with thoughts of death and impending judgment and the end of the world. And on a personal level, Luther was badly injured in a hunting accident. He drove a dagger deep into his thigh, and while a friend ran for help, Luther propped up his leg against a tree and put pressure on the wound to staunch the bleeding. Probably all of these factors and more were involved in compounding Luther's anxiety. Then one day, Luther was on foot near the town of Stadernheim, and a particularly violent storm arose. Lightning and thunder were crashing all around him, and suddenly Luther fell to his knees. And the storm around him seemed to match the conflict within. And overwhelmed and afraid, Luther cried out for help to the patron saint of miners, "Saint Anne, help me, and I will become a monk." Like a lot of people, Luther made a vow to God in the midst of a turbulent time. Isn't that what we sometimes do? "God, get me through this, and I'll quit drinking, or I'll be a better husband, or I'll be nicer to others," and on and on and on we promise. Several years ago, my brother Tim and I were visiting missionaries in South America. Tim had spent a couple of summers in the jungles of Bolivia working for an organization called A Cup of Cold Water Ministries. The purpose of the ministry was to do acts of kindness in Jesus' name. Tim was part of a crew that took the frames out of old Volkswagen vans salvaged from American junkyards. They cut them down to size, added a 16-horsepower motor, and built a box in the back. And the finished product looked like a combination of a small pickup truck and a golf cart. And the vehicle was perfect for maneuvering the winding roads through the jungle, and it enabled farmers in outlying villages to bring their produce to the city and make a decent living. But one day, Tim and I went with a local missionary to visit one of those outlying villages. We walked several miles to get there. We talked to a number of people along the way, but especially we were going to meet a woman who had lost a stillborn baby just a few days before. And as the woman told her story, the tears started trickling down, and they didn't stop. The hours passed quickly. By the time we started back, the sun was getting low in the sky. In fact, we had to find our way over the last couple of miles by starlight. When we finally arrived at the grove of banana trees, we knew we had made it back safely. But there was only one obstacle between us and home. How would we get across that river? The missionary cried out in Spanish, help! But there was no response on the other side. He said it again, a little louder, help! But again, no response. And finally, he shouted at the top of his lungs, help, please come over here and help us. And yet again, there was no response. But after a few minutes, we saw a lantern. And out of the darkness appeared a little man with a dark cap. He was guiding a boat made out of a hollowed-out tree. And he carefully loaded us into his boat, and we started across the river. The current was swift, however, and the rickety boat was soon rocking back and forth. We didn't have life jackets. We were scared half to death. And in a moment of desperation, my brother made a vow. Lord, get us across this river, and I will become a missionary. And sure enough, the Lord got us across that river. Now, whether or not my brother was completely serious about his vow or merely saying it in desperation, only he can answer. But whenever I remind him of it, he gets a sheepish grin on his face and says, well, there are lots of places to be a missionary, you know, and not all of them are overseas. And I have to admit, he's got a point. And there's at least one more thing about this story from Bolivia that's worth mentioning. The name of the man in the boats, the man who came across the water and rescued us, was Salvador, which in Spanish means Savior. He came and saved us and wouldn't accept any money for it. It's a gift, he said, a free gift. How do we find a gracious God? Sometimes God shows up in places where we least expect them. A turbulent river in the dark of night, a violent thunderstorm that drives a person to his knees. God comes and saves us in ways we never could have imagined, and then sets us on our feet again. As it turns out, Luther was serious about his vow. He dropped out of law school and entered a monastery. He was a monk, but not in a traditional sense, living in the country and focusing on prayer and manual labor. Instead, he was a friar, living in the city. He studied to become a priest and then to be a university professor teaching the Bible. Despite this new direction, Luther's old question continued to haunt him. How can I find a gracious God? And if anything, Luther's inner turmoil was getting worse. At his ordination, Hans could barely contain his disappointment over his son's decision. And Hans held his son, held his tongue during the ceremony, but afterward he blurted out, I hope it was God who called you and not the devil. It was hard for Luther. The more he studied the Bible, the more convinced he was that God was often much like his father, harsh and demanding, and Luther felt unworthy. It hardly seemed possible that Almighty God would choose to work through a sinner like him. Then sometime in late 1516, Luther had a breakthrough. It's commonly referred to as his tower experience because Luther had a study in a tower in the city of Wittenberg. Perhaps the breakthrough came not in a single moment, but over a period of time. Luther was reading Romans, and he came to chapter 3, the just shall live by faith. And suddenly a light went on for him. He realized he could never be good enough to deserve God's favor. No, says Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are justified. We are made right with God, not by being really good people, not by always pleasing our earthly parents, not by doing a certain number of good works, but only by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. These words hit home for Luther. His troubled conscience came to rest, at least for a time. He felt as if he had been reborn. And instead of trying to earn God's favor, all he needed to do was to trust what God had already done for him in Jesus. That was it. It was a gift, and it was free and unconditional. And as Luther received this gift, he came to believe that Jesus was God's best idea ever. You want an example of a free and unconditional gift? Consider the story of Steve Bartman, a lifelong Chicago Cubs fan. You may remember that fateful night in October of 2003. The Cubs were playing the Florida Marlins at Wrigley Field. They were ahead in the game 3-0 and ahead 3-2 in the series. It was the top of the eighth, only 5 outs to go. What could possibly go wrong? And then a high fly ball came down the left field line. It was foul, but Cubs outfielder Moises Alou was poised to catch it. The Cubs would be only 4 outs away from the World Series, their first World Series since 1945. Unfortunately, Steve Bartman also had his eye on the ball. He reached out to catch it and ended up deflecting it away from Moises Alou. And as luck would have it, Florida went on to score 8 runs that inning, and they won the game. And the next night, they won the series, and the century-old curse of the Chicago Cubs continued. Understandably, Cubs fans were outraged. Steve Bartman was vilified as the GOAT. He had to be led out of the stadium by security escort. The police had to guard his home. He could barely show his face in public. And Bartman later apologized for his actions, but clearly it wasn't enough for many of the fans. The Illinois governor suggested, only perhaps partly in jest, that Bartman might want to consider a witness protection program. Now, if you follow sports, you know that the Chicago Cubs finally broke through last season and won the World Series. They danced on the streets of Chicago. The curse was lifted. And this past July, they announced who would be getting World Series rings. And would you believe that Steve Bartman was on the list? Bartman humbly and graciously accepted the gift. His name was engraved on the side of it. And as he did, he commented, "Although I do not consider myself worthy of such an honor, I am deeply moved and sincerely grateful. And most meaningful to me is the genuine outreach from the Cubs organization and fans, signifying to me that I am welcomed back into the Cubs family." How do we find a gracious God? By looking in some of the most unlikely places. A World Series ring on the finger of one who was vilified as a goat. A trip across a river in a rickety wooden boat with passengers scared half to death. A powerful thunderstorm that redirected a life and eventually changed the world. Here's the truth. Jesus is God's best idea ever. His name means Savior. In Jesus, God comes and saves us, even though we're not deserving. God comes and saves us in ways we never could have imagined, and then sets us back on our feet again. It's a gift, a free and unconditional gift. Thanks be to God. Amen.